Now it's time for Tracy Martin from the New Zealand First Party.
Tracy is at Ratana today, so we spoke with her this morning while she was on the way there. She was driving Deputy Prime Minister Winston Peters, and they'd stopped to get coffee in Levin. I asked about the soon-to-be Prime Minister, Winston Peters.
Well, no, he'll only be acting Prime Minister.
Right.
And he's done it before. He's actually done it three times already since we got sworn in. So, and he'd done it previously in previous governments, so that's fine.
Do you have to do some extra kind of swearing in, or is it just an acting role?
No, it's just an acting role. There'll just be an extra level of briefing. The Prime Minister's office has just more advisers and so on and so forth around specialty items. But considering that the Right Honourable Winston Peters is already on the GCSB panel and all that sort of thing, he has the highest level of security, so there's not much that needs changing.
Mm. Very, very well thought out.
Mm. Always is. Look, the country, the country's pretty well run, actually. We have an exceptionally good public service. And because politicians come or go, but your public servants, they hold your democracy together while elections happen, while there might be some sort of constitutional crisis. If you have a really strong public service, then your country will be fine.
We're doing a little bit of we're starting these themed weeks on The Wire, and this week is education. So I'm glad we're sort of speaking to you, but I might just ask a couple of other things first. I wanted to mention the official name change of Oranga Tamariki. So that's gone through finally.
Yes.
And what will that actually change? Will that change anything physically or otherwise?
Physically, no. So if you're talking about like where Oranga Tamariki offices are and the signage will change and things. But physically, no, we're not shifting everybody around to different offices. However, the purpose is to change is to indicate a change of culture. And it's not just a change of culture inside Oranga Tamariki, but actually for the government. So this government has decided that children is going to be one of our focuses, a major focus. If we can get it right for children, children don't live in isolation, they live inside of families. So if we can get it right for children, we'll be able to get it right for families. So the name change is more than just those children that are being cared for by Oranga Tamariki or are coming to their attention, although part of it was to actually honour the young people who had come up with the design and the original name of the ministry but had their wishes sort of overridden by the previous government. Those young people had asked that word not be used, and it was, so we've gone back to what was their original wishes. But it's also to indicate that it's wider than just those children who are our most needy.
Personally, I understand how much, a name change and a cultural shift in terms of the kaupapa but that name represents, but what does it actually look like? How do you actually begin to change something?
Sure.
You're simply just changing the name, or you're just changing the face of it.
So that's the first thing we've done is we've changed the name. Right. The next thing we've got is that the Prime Minister and I are working on a piece of legislation around poverty reduction. So that will have specific targets that every government will have to measure themselves against. About how their policies have affected and how many people New Zealanders are living in poverty. So that's a piece of legislation coming through. We're also setting the wellbeing standard. So from the ministry and every government department will have to feed into how are your policies affecting the wellbeing of children. So that's another piece of legislation that's going to be going through and regulation that we're setting across all government departments. So, we're also implementing new standards with regard to our social workers. We're also implementing different standards around how do we support caregiver families, where are we placing our young people when we have to look after them. So the name change is just the most visual piece of work that we've got going on at the moment. It's just the start.
Right. When you say that this government is for children and you're going to do, you know, you're going to do all these things for children. In Te Ao Māori, there's that idea of the pā harakeke. So you have the younger harakeke in the middle and the older ones on the outside protecting it. Isn't there some sort of value in looking at a wraparound service so you do actually put in support mechanisms or whatever it might be for those around children?
Well, see, and that's when you make children the focus. So when you make the heart, like of the harakeke, the focus, then you are looking at, so what is everything that is affecting that child? Who are the people that we need to support around that child to make that child's life better? So, and by making, because they are at the centre, if you start with them and look out and say, well, if we can give mum more income for this particular child, if we can help mum get more education or so on and so forth, then that child's life will be better. So do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, so part of that focusing on the child is essentially focusing on those around the child.
Exactly. So what is it that, because look, every child wants to live with mum and dad and have a family that loves and cares for them. And with regard to Rauranga Tamariki children, that's broken down. So what we often have to do is not just uplift the child and keep them in a place that is safe for that moment. We have to build a plan, if we can, to strengthen their immediate family. Now, sometimes it might not be mum and dad because it just might not be possible for lots of reasons. But you stretch out to the next part of the family or the next part. How far, you know, wherever the layers take us to, what is it that we need to do to support the family so that the child can come back and be part of who they want to be?
Okay, moving into the education area. You met with Chris Hipkins yesterday?
Yes, I did.
And what was that for?
Oh, well, it was a ministerial meeting. I meet with Chris Hipkins a lot. That was just one of our education update meetings with lots of different areas of the ministry to go over the projects that we've got on the boil.
So it's more of just a regular catch up.
Yeah. It's once every week. Well, actually, and sometimes it's twice a week, depending on the topic. Like with the fees free the fees free policy. So that's had quite large meetings with officials and so on. And Grant Robertson and myself and Chris Hipkins have been there to make sure that policy's working. Now we need to, where are we at now? How's it panning out towards February when we're going to get the big pitch of people who finally all sign in? So that's a meeting that takes place during the week. And then there was another one yesterday which covered a mass of topics that are on the go at the moment with education. So, yeah, they're regular, all right.
Okay. Good. So lastly, you also, I watch your Facebook videos again. You said that you, as Associate Minister of Education and Minister for Children, you cover your area is the education of children in care. What is that? Mm. What does that look like?
Well, what it looks like is, so children in care, so that predominantly I was talking in that instance about children who are inside a youth justice facility, inside a remand facility, or inside a care and protection facility. So I go to all those facilities with one hat on as the Minister for Children. But I also have responsibility to make sure that the education that's being provided to those young people in there is of a high quality, and that's my delegation as Associate Minister of Education. So there's a particular school that's based in Christchurch called Kingsley School, which has about five contracts.
You're right.
Yeah, I'm in Levin, and the truck traffic down their main street. Wow. I was born in this town, just by the way, just so you know.
Shout out to Levin.
Yeah. So there's a particular school called Kingsley School. So they're based in Christchurch, but they send teachers into our youth justice facilities and teachers into our care and protection facilities. So I'm very interested. I mean, I think what I've seen so far, it's an incredibly high level of education that these young people are receiving. I'm thrilled that the young people... so far that I've met. I mean, they're incarcerated, but they're saying to me, I love my teachers. I really enjoy going to class. I'm achieving. I feel really positive about my ability to learn stuff. And that's new for them because their lives have been somewhat, you know, traumatic.
But is it really surprising that they, like you say, enjoy the education?
It's not surprising. It's very pleasing. And it's not surprising because these, you know, the ratio that these teachers have got is like 1 to 3, 1 to 4. And these young people need those sort of that level of ratio because they're so far behind in their learning. If we were able to allow our mainstream schools to have a lower class size, and that would release teachers to be able to, you know, have more time per student, then probably these young people might have had a better experience in mainstream school. However, nobody lives in isolation, so school was only one part of their life. I mean, you know, if you've got stuff going on at home, if you've got violence or alcoholism or drugs going on at home, then, you know, just going to school 6 hours in a day is not going to, you know, change every other aspect of your life that you're trying to deal with.
That was Tracy Martin from the New Zealand First Party. The Wire.